Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I want to wish you a Happy New Year. Every year at the Seed, we ask people in our church to have a word of intention. I would challenge you this year. I know before we go to the message, I want to challenge you to pray for a word. God wants to give you a word. What is your word of intention? This weekend, we celebrate in the church calendar the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have several passages we want to hit. Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 7. Matthew 3, 1 through 17. We have a lot of ground to cover. If you need a place to worship, come and join us at the Seed Christian Fellowship Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time. You can join us in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, or you can join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. If you don't have a home church, we would gladly find you a home church in your area. Begin the year by going to church and seeing how God is going to transform your life and give you a word. Before we go to God's word, let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray for your word that you have for us this year in 2023. Speak to us again of your grace, your mercy, your love, your forgiveness. Speak to us so that we can speak to others of your grace, mercy, and love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 7, and then in Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 17. Listen for God's word to you. Isaiah 43, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear." Oh, those are some great words, isn't it? "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offsprings from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons and daughters from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Those are some really powerful words. In Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 17, we celebrate the baptism of the Lord this Sunday in church. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John was wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat from the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Well, this week, as I mentioned, we celebrate on the church calendar. The church has a calendar with significant days, and this week we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. In my study this week, I was moved by several powerful images that appear in this story. The story of Jesus' baptism is recorded in all four Gospels. The baptism of Jesus comes just before the beginning of his earthly ministry. Jesus is now 30 years old. We've just come through Advent and Christmas, and we've talked about the fullness of time and how God waited for just the right time to send his Son to the earth. Now we see Jesus waiting for the fullness of time at the age of 30. And it is now time. It is time for Jesus to begin his ministry and his baptism by his cousin John in the River Jordan. Well, it's a part of his plan. There is a powerful image of Jesus being baptized and coming up out of the water with the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven in the form of a dove, and a voice is heard from heaven saying, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. I wish I could have been there. To stand on the bank of the Jordan and to watch this story unfold. This was a heavenly family reunion that included all three of the Godhead. We have God the Father speaking from heaven, we have God the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, and we have God the Son being obedient and coming down into the water only to be raised up again. Some scholars have suggested that this image of Jesus being baptized identifies Jesus with Moses. Moses took the Israelites through the Red Sea, and for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Jesus was baptized, and immediately he went into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days. There's another powerful picture here. The name Jonah means dove. Did you know that? Jonah means dove, and he too experienced quite a baptism in the belly of the whale. Jonah was sent to the Gentiles, and Jesus would minister to the Jewish people and the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove is not something we should miss either. The dove is a sign of innocence and purity. In Jewish culture, the dove was the only bird that could be offered as a sacrifice. Do you remember that the dove was one of two birds Noah sent out after the rains looking for dry land? The second time the dove came back with an olive branch. The third time the dove never returned. The dove returning with an olive branch in his beak is a sign of peace. In our story today, we have the Prince of Peace being baptized, the one who will one day in the near future will become a living sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The next time you see a mourning dove cooing, stop and give thanks for the heavenly peace that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Baptism signifies a washing with water. The command to baptize is fulfilled in many ways, by dunking or immersion, dipping or sprinkling. And you thought that, well, you thought those words were just for donuts. The Greek word to baptize includes all three of these words, dipped, dunked, and sprinkled. It's the water that makes the connection, not the amount of water. I thought we would take a few moments today to look at the meaning and the significance of baptism. The word significance comes from the word signify, so it is like a word to giving us a sign. The sacrament of baptism is an outward sign of the inward reality of the work of the Holy Spirit. A sign points us to something, and there are at least four great big theological signs in baptism. There's a sign of death to life. There's a sign of cleansing and forgiveness of our sins. There's a sign of ingrafting or adoption into the family of God. And there's a sign of regeneration or renewal by the Holy Spirit. Death to life. Let's talk real quick about that. The sign of being immersed in the water or going under the water, even just sprinkled, signifies that we are buried with Christ in his death, going under the water, and we are raised into a new life in the resurrection of Christ. Death to life is one of the signs of baptism. In Romans 6:4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Isn't it great to know that once we've been baptized, it is time to live a new life in Christ? That is why we are, well, we would remember our baptism on this Sunday. If you go to church or this weekend, and listen, if you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to make that commitment. Go to your local pastor, talk to him about baptism, and be baptized and come from death to life. The second sign is a cleansing and forgiveness of sins. Wow. Do we all need that? I know I do. One of the most common signs of baptism is the cleansing that is signified by the washing of the water. In baptism, the washing of the water signifies our being cleansed from sin. It is as though our filthy rags were exchanged for royal robes. Did you know that the tradition of wearing new clothes on Easter came about from the early church? In the early church, when someone wanted to join the church, they would spend an entire year learning about God, theology, the church, and on Easter Sunday, they would be baptized and given new clothes to represent the new life given to them in Jesus Christ. Wow. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're talking about baptism. Baptism is the outward sign of the inward reality of Christ. There's four signs of baptism. The first is death to life. The second is cleansing and forgiveness of sins. The third is this regeneration or renewal by the Holy Spirit. And the fourth we're going to talk about is adoption or engrafting into the family of God. We've been talking about this new forgiveness of sins. In Acts chapter 2, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 41. Wow. Joshua was dressed in filthy rags as he stood before an angel, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off those filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. See the stone I have set in front of you, Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it. It says, 'The Lord Almighty,' and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day." Zechariah 3, 3 and 9. Wow. Here's another passage to look at in Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight in showing mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged an oath to our fathers in the days long ago. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 20. One more passage real quick in Psalm 103. I love Psalms. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He'll not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." When we are buried with Christ in a death like his, we're raised into a new life by the power of the resurrection, and we are washed clean from our sin. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you're struggling with. I know that many people think they've gone too far. But when we repent and ask Christ to forgive us and ask him to be the Lord of our life, we're forgiven. He doesn't harbor any anger forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. As high as the heavens and above the earth, so great is his love for us. He forgives you. I want you to hear that today. There's someone here that needs to know they're forgiven. You're forgiven. Baptism is also a sign of regeneration and renewal. Baptism is this outward sign of being cleansed by the work of the Holy Spirit. The theological word for this process, well, it's a big word, sanctification. The power of forgiveness is not found in the water. That's why you can be dunked, dipped, or sprinkled. I know I'm causing some theological waves. The power of forgiveness is found in the work of God through Christ's death and resurrection and through the Holy Spirit regenerating and renewing our minds, our thoughts, our ways, convicting us, challenging us, and comforting us as we confess our sins and receive the forgiveness that comes through the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Death to life, cleansing and forgiveness of sins, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. They're all signs of baptism. I'll just give you a couple passages real quick in Ezekiel 37 or 36. "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Wow. In Acts 2, it says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Through the work of baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit we receive when we ask Christ into our lives. The baptism of Jesus by John, his cousin, had to happen because it was the fullness of time. For Jesus, who began his earthly 3-year ministry, when we remember our own baptism, if you've been baptized, I want you to remember your baptism. Maybe it's a time to recommit your life and ask your pastor to remember your baptism. We think this way. We've been touched by the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus was. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we are raised from our old life into a new life. Well, I've got the power. That's what you should say, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just some hit song. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And sanctification is a process, a day-by-day setting apart, letting go of the past, looking to the new. The last point I want to make quickly today is adoption or ingrafting into the family of God. Wow, that sign. Scripture continually points to our relationship with God as being one as adopted sons and daughters. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 these verses, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption when you cry, Abba, Father." When we baptize a child or an adult, after the baptism, we say, "See what love the Father has, that we should be called children of God." And so we are, 1 John 3:1. We then have the privilege of walking the child or the adults around the congregation, showing off the new son or daughter of the King and grafting them into the family of God right here. Dunked, dipped, or sprinkled, it really doesn't matter how we are baptized or when we are baptized, as an infant or an adult, What is important is to remember what baptism points us to, the signs of baptism. We come from death to life, we're cleansed and our sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit renews and regenerates us, and we receive our adoptions as sons and daughters of the King. Not just a King, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember, the power is not in the water or the ritual. It is in the power of God working through the Holy Spirit using Christ's example. In the movie Lion King, there's a powerful scene where Simba is called back to his baptism. Rafiki, the baboon, takes him to the lagoon to show him his father. Simba sees the reflection of himself, saying, "That isn't his father, it's just a reflection of himself." Rafiki says, "Look harder. He, your father, lives in you." When Simba looks again, he hears the voice of his father saying, "Simba, you have forgotten who you are. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are." Well, so what? We're going to be running out of time here. As a pastor, I have the opportunity to minister God's love and grace in many ways. Many years ago, I was ministering to a man who had returned from the Vietnam War. Bill, I'm going to say, that's not his name, was struggling with God. I invited him to attend a grace weekend, and on that weekend, he opened his life to God. Bill struggled with forgiving himself for all the things he had seen and done during the war. He said, "I know that God will never forgive me for the awful things I've done." I began reading some of those scriptures. "As far as the east is from the west, he'll remove our sins. Though our sins are like scarlet, they'll become white as snow. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. You will again have compassion on us. You'll tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depth of the sea. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." Bill sat and cried and cried and cried that night. He asked God to forgive him and make a decision to live his life in Christ. Bill walked away that night a new man, empowered no longer by himself, but empowered with the Holy Spirit. And for the past 20 years, he's lived for Christ alone. When I was serving a church in Texas, a man in his 80s came to see me. He was really struggling with his relationship with God. He started to confess that he didn't believe that God would forgive him for being a bomber pilot in World War II. The verse that the Holy Spirit gave me that day was Romans 8, 1 and 2 and 37 and 39. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." And then it ends with, "No, and all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus." Wow. That man accepted the forgiveness of Christ and remembered his baptism. I believe every one of us have done or experienced things we regret. There are sins that cling so closely and we think God can never forget. Many of us forgive others, but we have the hardest time forgiving ourselves. I challenge you today to forgive yourself and set yourself free so that you can follow Christ and have a new beginning this year. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, let us always remember our baptism, that we're engrafted, we're adopted by you, that we're washed clean of our sins, that we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're brought from death to life. Help us to walk in that newness in Jesus' name. How wonderful it is to realize that you live in us through the Holy Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We remember the waters of our baptism and we celebrate our engrafting, our adoption as your children. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you all your days. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.